Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host on Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. So today we are going to talk a little bit about healing. So many people begin their healing journey with a quiet assumption. Something must be wrong with them. But in this episode, I'm looking to gently dismantle that belief. In today's episode, I'm going to perhaps allow you or invite you to reframe healing, not as a correction, but as a refinement, a natural response to growth, awareness, and leadership. We're going to explore a little bit why doing the internal work is not a flaw to hide or apologize for, but a sign of emotional maturity and self-responsibility. What I'm inviting you to do is to release shame and replace it with honest self-awareness. Clarify the difference between responsibility and fault, and why taking ownership of your inner world doesn't mean you caused your wounds. It means you're choosing how you carry them forward. Healing is presented as a lifelong conversation with yourself, one that deepens capacity, strengthens emotional architecture, and supports more grounded leadership. Because sacred leadership doesn't require perfection, it requires presence, self-trust, and the willingness to tend to your inner world with respect. Today's episode is for anyone who has ever questioned whether their healing means they're behind or needs the reminder that healing is not evidence of brokenness, but rather a becoming. So with that, really what we're looking to do, or what I'm inviting you to do, is I'm sure you've heard on many previous episodes, I'm always talking about the inner work and the healing and all of this other kind of stuff. And it occurred to me that perhaps you listeners could be misunderstanding that to imply that you're broken or you need fixing or any one of these things. And it's really just looking at healing as a journey, a continued journey into self, and not that you're broken or that any one of us are broken, but perhaps how do we build more capacity within ourselves? So where we will begin with that is maybe a little bit of my own personal reflection and what healing means to me. And I think that it was probably about 3 years ago, when 2 to 3 years ago, when whatever I was doing at that time, and I've been on this journey for a little bit, but it was just like this, it felt like this work, like try this thing, try that thing, do this thing, do that thing. And it was just like this constant search for what can make me feel better. And I was working with a coach, and that's really where it started to, I guess, make sense in terms of really what I was doing. And, you know, a lot of people resist, we'll say, going back into the past and kind of uncovering these things. But I think I started to approach it in a very intuitive way. And I think I just asked myself a question. And the question quite simply was, what is it that I need to heal at this moment? And I just trusted what came to me visually. And it was like this super old memory of something that I did not even actually deem as a wound or traumatic. It was just something that had happened. It was traumatic at the time. But I think what I had done at that point, because I think it was like 16 years old. So I think what I had done at that point was I just kind of buried it and just said, you know what, we got to keep on, even at that age, I was like, I just got to keep on trucking, just got to nose down and keep going forward. But when I stopped and I asked myself this question around, what is it that I need to heal next? And this memory came up and I just kind of went with it. Wow, did it really unlock stuff? Because it was like, I didn't even realize how much stuff I was holding on to from this super old memory. And, you know, the stories that I was telling myself about all the parties that were involved and, you know, even myself in that moment. So I think that I just, that's when I realized that it's just at that point anyways, it was a bit of a processing. It was a bit of, viewing the narrative in a different lens and building that capacity. And the key that I become aware of at that moment is how much emotion was still attached to it, because when I was recounting what had happened or what I had recalled, I witnessed my heart rate racing. I was getting super angry about it. I was like practically yelling at my coach when I was going through this. And at the end of all of it, I said, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I was still so upset about that, because it had never come up. And so that is where it had begun for me, this awareness of like, I don't have to get lost in the story, but there's clearly something here that needs to be looked at, addressed, and then we release and move on. And then the other thing that I've kind of been more aware of is like, how do we approach it, and how do we show up, and how do we respond with those things? And I'm not even talking about, in the emotional sense, but really in the somatic sense, in the body sense. And how can we see that for what it is? So what we're going to do first is we're going to talk about your body and the nervous system and how it responds. So of course, many of us, or all of us, have heard of, fight, flight, or freeze. But those are really responses to when we feel unsafe. And, it happens, yes, if there's an emergency, and you might do exactly all those things, like, put your dukes up and or run or do nothing in that very, very physical sense. But there's other ways that we cope that are not as obvious, that is still your nervous system or your body still trying to navigate when we feel unsafe, right? And that's really what the first thing I think is to realize about healing, is maybe there's sometimes resistance because we don't know what's going to come up. We don't know how we're going to respond to it. We don't want to collapse under the pressure of it, especially if it's something extremely emotional or very, very traumatic, or maybe you didn't even know that it was emotional or traumatic, right? And so some of the ways that this can show up is through things like hypervigilance, people-pleasing tendencies, emotional numbing, overworking, avoidance, and control. These are some of the ways. And if you're not sure what your tendency is, I've done this. It's like a saboteur assessment. I think I've talked about it on this podcast before, but this was really useful for me because it helped me highlight. You can call it saboteurs. You can call it, some of the things that we do when we are in that fight, flight, freeze kind of energy. And if you are interested in seeing what you might do or what those saboteurs are, then go to positiveintelligence.com/saboteurs/. And it's a quick assessment. I think it maybe takes about 10, maybe 15 minutes. And at the end, it'll highlight for you like all of them ranked. I think there's 11, 9 or 11, but it'll give them to you all kind of ranked. And the top three are the ones that you want to pay attention to. I feel no way about sharing this, so I'm happy. Like when I kind of went through this list, I'm like, I've definitely been a people pleaser. That's one of mine. A previous version of myself used to be an emotional number, definitely an overworker. Avoidance. I guess you could say I'm most of these, to be honest with you, but I have no shame with it, right? Because now when I see it, I'm like, oh, okay, why am I avoiding this? Or why am I feeling like I need to people please or any of these things? But I think it's important to have an awareness of what these things are and where they show up, so that when they do show up and you can begin to look at them playing out in an experience, then you can also say to yourself, okay, so this might be something that's being triggered here. Let's see what's going on here. So let's go into a little bit more detail about what these things are, so that even if you don't understand what they are, just mean rattling them off, then maybe this will resonate with you a little bit more. So hypervigilance is a constant state of alertness where the nervous system is scanning for a threat, even when nothing is visibly wrong. So we often talk about this now, how, ancestrally, yes, there were physical threats out there, but now your body is just wired for it in a lot of ways. Like we're always looking and scanning and seeing, like, are we safe? Are we safe? Even when there's no apparent danger. So it's needed when there is legitimately danger. But in today's world, we are generally speaking constantly looking for it and putting ourselves in this like stress situation all the time, even if there is no apparent stress. So how it could show up is in always being on or aware, difficulty relaxing, constantly scanning. So like reading tone, reading mood, reading energy, like a lot of this actually sounds like me if I'm being honest, and anticipating problems before they even happen. So this would be like an inability to experience a moment in joy, but actually waiting for the other shoe to fall. So I actually definitely know this is one of mine as well. I just don't remember where it showed up in the saboteur assessment. So those are examples of that's a definition of what hypervigilance is. And those are examples of how it shows up. The second one here is people pleasing. So this is a survival response where connection is maintained by prioritizing others' comforts over your own needs. So this can be exhibited through difficulty in saying no, or you say no and you're like, here are all the reasons why I'm saying no. So like justifying or over explaining your position, fear of disappointing others. So you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want them to think, you know, negative things about you, that you don't love them or you don't care about them or their things are not important, things like that. Feeling responsible for other people's emotions. So in other words, when we're people pleasing, we're sacrificing what it is that we need in that moment so that we can make sure that other people are feeling safe and comfortable. So in essence, you're kind of like compromising your own comfort and safety so that someone else can be comfortable and safety. So that's another example of how a saboteur or, you know, the awareness around this healing again might be evident. Another one is emotional numbing. So emotional numbing is defined as the nervous system dampening emotional intensity to avoid overwhelm. So sometimes how this can show up is feeling disconnected or flat, difficulty in accessing joy or sadness, saying, I don't know how I feel, intellectualizing emotions instead of feeling them. And this one, I mean, I guess these are things that I've done in many different circumstances, but I remember when this one was a big one. So I can logic and I can intellectualize how I feel about something versus actually feeling it. And I think this one I've seen a lot more talk lately, and specifically, no offense to older people, this is not a jab, but I've definitely heard a lot of older generations talking about, you know, particularly men, not knowing how to access, especially around things like grief, not knowing how to cry, not knowing how to feel sadness, not knowing how to like really give into that emotion. And I think it might be a tough one for people because it's like you might have this concern that you will collapse under the weight of it. And the reality is I definitely struggled with that one as well, like in terms of feeling like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to like control my emotions or get them back under control if I open up this floodgate of emotion. So those are all examples of how emotional numbing can come into play. The next one, which I feel like many of you could be familiar with, is overworking. So this is where we use productivity and achievement to create safety, worth, and control. I love this one because I am definitely guilty of this one where it's like, you feel like your world, the only way that you can control your world is if you are constantly pushing, constantly driving, constantly working towards achievement. So this can be evident when we have difficulty resting, guilt when not being productive, tying self-worth to output, and staying busy to avoid stillness. In fact, right before I started today's episode, I was saying, I'm like, geez, I am so tired. And I am legitimately tired. And there's one part of my brain that's like, oh, you've got all this stuff to do. But then there's the other part that's like, yo, girl, just rest. Like, you don't usually feel exhausted. So if you feel exhausted, honor that. Instead of like pushing through with like, I gotta do. So that is all the examples of overworking as, you know, maybe an indicator of diving into what we need to maybe build capacity on. Avoidance is another one here. And this is the nervous system's way of keeping you away from situations, conversations, or emotions that feel threatening. I love this one because I see it around me all the time with people who, actually I'm guilty of it as well, because the first one here of how it shows up is procrastination, or ghosting difficult conversations, distracting yourself instead of feeling, and delaying decisions. So I lied. I'm all of these things. I've done all of these things. And I think that we've all been guilty of this, right? Like you put something off because you don't want to dive into it. You don't feel like you have the mental, the emotional, even the physical bandwidth to kind of lean into it. Avoiding difficult conversations or kicking the can down the road, as I would say, distracting. I think we see a lot of this with social media and like the scrolling, even the dual screen scrolling that people are doing, or delaying decisions. And I think that in a lot of ways, you know, as connected as we are and with technology and social media and all of these things, this makes this avoidance piece really, really easy to fall into a trap of. So we are going to take our first break and we will continue talking about these saboteurs that can show up. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today we are talking about why healing doesn't mean you are broken. And in the first segment, I was just going over some coping mechanisms that can sometimes show up when we really begin to engage with this journey. And before that, what I really started out saying is that healing doesn't mean that you're broken. It doesn't mean that you're irreparable. It means really that you are willing and ready to begin to build capacity and be present in life and the experiences, the ones that feel great, which is super easy, and then the ones that don't feel so great and sometimes are triggering. And some of the coping mechanisms, so there's all the obvious coping mechanisms that people talk about, you know, overworking, drugs, alcohol, gambling, all of these things that we do to feel good. But then there's the other ones that don't show up quite so obviously. And I was just going through some of what those are and what they look like. And just to recap, they are hypervigilance, emotional numbing, avoidance, overworking, control, and people pleasing. And we had just left off at avoidance, I believe. And I was just moving on to the next one, which is, I'm sorry, just bear with me, overworking, avoidance. Yes, there we are. Sorry. Control. Control. What is that? Control is ultimately an attempt to create predictability when safety once depended on managing outcomes. And so I think this can show up in many different ways, and in the small ways and obviously in the big ways. So it can show up as micromanaging, difficulty in trusting others, anxiety when plans change, and needing certainty before moving forward. So for those of you who may have read or listened to Mel Robbins' book, The Let Them Theory, I love this book because her opening story in that book, when I was reading it, I was driving with my sister and I was laughing out loud, and she was like, "What are you laughing at?" I'm like, "Wow, this really sounds like me." I'm just going to recap it a little bit. But if this sounds like you, then this is you. But she was talking about how her kids were like going to prom and the kids were kind of being haphazard with it. They didn't even really have a plan. It was raining. They hadn't made backup plans, all this other kind of stuff. They didn't make reservations for a restaurant. And as soon as she realized that basically their prom was going to be a gong show, or at least their pre-party to the prom, she just went into like fix it mode, and she's like texting and booking this and booking that. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I totally would do that." And anyways, the whole point of her book is like not feeling like you need to control others, because we have zero control over others. You know, the only thing ultimately we can control is ourselves. We can't even control all of the circumstances and experiences. All that we can ultimately control is our response to those situations as they show up. So control is ultimately what happens when unpredictability once meant danger. So ultimately, we're looking to how do we begin to release some of that control? And so these are not bad things. They're not terrible things. They're just things that show up as coping mechanisms when we feel like we need to begin to bring safety to our world. And that can often happen when you are going through this journey, because it can be a little bit unpredictable. You can't, as the example that I used with this super old memory that had come up, and I did not expect all of this emotion. Well, when it came up, I didn't actually try to control it. As I told you, I was like yelling at my coach at the time, and I'm crying and I'm having snot bubbles. It was messy, let me tell you. But at the end of the day, I didn't try to control it, because obviously there was something there that I needed to feel and acknowledge and accept and move forward. And that is the point of highlighting these things, is that when you see these things come up, it doesn't mean you're broken. It means, okay, let's engage with it. So another thing that can happen if we're not mindful of it is this healing business can feel hard. I definitely know that my daughter, when we're talking about it, she sometimes says to me, she's like, "Oh my gosh, this feels like just so much work. It feels like it's never ending. And it's, you know, this constant, like I got to live life and I got to do this healing business as well." It doesn't have to feel like work. I think it's in how we frame it. So if you're approaching it in terms of like, "I got to fix this thing," or there's this thing that's broken, versus, "I'm just adjusting. I'm just learning how to be present with whatever this pain is or this feeling is," that's the difference. And instead of trying to force it and feel like you're racing to the end of some destination, it reminds me of this thing that somebody had said to me around, and I'm dead, and I know now why I was doing it, but it was like when these challenges would come up during this journey and it was uncomfortable, I'm like trying to hurry up and get through it to where I'm not uncomfortable anymore. So if I was feeling sad, or if the emotions were feeling particularly heavy, I'm just like, how do I hurry up and get through this? Because I don't like the way that I feel. And my coach at the time had said, "Well, if you rush through it, you're just going to have to do it again," right? Because there's something that's going to come up and effectively trigger you, and you're just going to have to do this all over again. So you may as well just take your time and move through it and build the capacity to be fully present with your emotions. So this shift will actually begin when you realize that you're not forcing, you're not overriding, you're not saying to your body, It's not okay to feel this way or that way or whatever the case may be, but you're just really sitting with it and you're being present with it. That you're not trying to force it or fix it, but you're really just paying attention. And that's where the guidance comes in for, like, you know, I talk a lot about somatic practices. Where is this showing up in my body? Where is the tension? Where is the pain? Where's, you know, all of these things, so I can begin to peel back the layers and really understand what's going on. But when we talk about these coping mechanisms, it's eventually getting to the place where you're not so emotionally triggered or reactive, so that you can actually just witness them when they show up, right? The hypervigilance, the avoidance, these things. So then you can say, oh yeah, I'm avoiding this. And if you know you're avoiding it, great. If you don't know why you're avoiding it, that's where the magic happens, because that's where, you know, these really good questions come from in terms of, like, well, why am I avoiding it, right? And then pushing. This is not a pushing thing. This is not a nose down push through it. As I already told you, when I was trying to do that, I found that it became and felt very exhausting within the process. It's just expanding the capacity, building more bandwidth. That's the best way to put it. What you're doing is we're learning how to build more bandwidth so that we can, like, really engage with these feelings when they come up and move through this. So now that we've kind of recapped what some of these are, gone over what some of these coping mechanisms are, what they look like, and how to maybe make this journey a little easier and not feel so heavy and ridiculous, now I kind of want to talk about, you know, something that I had just said, which was around, I'm doing all of this work. How do I do that and live? Let's be clear. There is zero perfection in this. This is, I don't want to say it's a lifelong journey, because I feel like, you know, as you begin to open yourself up and really engage with this, I have this visual in my head of what it looks like, right? Where it's like, there'll be, you, as soon as you start to realize that you're being triggered, we'll say, or you're beginning to engage with it. So there's, like, this reactivity. And if I were to draw a graph, it's like the time between, like, something happens and your reactivity, it just kind of gets easier to deal with, right? And that doesn't mean you become nonchalant or that you don't care, that these things don't matter. It just means you really start to frame it very differently, so that instead of, like, getting pulled into the same emotional drama or soap opera when life happens and you are reminded of previous wounds or trauma, instead you begin to engage with it very differently, so that when something comes up, you're not getting pulled in. You're able to take a step back and you're like, okay, that's interesting. What's going on with this? And that time, just, it's almost like I can, if I were to say it, it's like it's got really short bars at the beginning of the graph, but at the end of the graph, you've got lots more capacity. That's where we're going. So you're not avoiding anymore. You can sit fully present in those emotions. You can feel them. You can name them. You can even identify where they're coming from. And you can just sit with it and be fully within that. So there's this idea, possibly, that eventually we get to the end. Well, yes, when, you know, this gig is up, this journey is up. But I think what ultimately happens is the triggers just have less power over us. And I remember recently, maybe not recently, but a few months ago, I was having a conversation with my sister, and I was getting real heated over something that had nothing to do with my life. Zero. In fact, I even said to her, I was like, why am I getting so hot about this? And I just said, you know what? Clearly there's something in your situation for me that I am getting so emotionally pulled into this thing that has nothing to do with me, right? And when I contemplated it and when I thought about it, I'm like, oh, it was something from like 10 years ago. And I'm not, and this is sometimes how it is, right? It's like you get pulled into somebody else's story and it starts to dredge up these old things in your, because really, honestly, your brain doesn't know if it's past, present, or future. So when these past events are happening, or these memories are happening, or you're telling stories or recounting experiences to someone, you can quickly and easily get pulled back into it. So it's not like there's actually an end date, but there was an awareness of like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not in that situation anymore. This is not actually happening to me. This has zero to do with me, but the trigger was still there in somebody else's story. So there's not perfection. There's not this this and then this and then this and then this. It's kind of all over the place. It's not linear. And the awareness, even in that moment, didn't erase the fact that, oh yeah, I had an experience that was like really painful, and even engaging with someone else's story still brought up all of this stuff. So even in that moment, I wasn't upset with myself. I wasn't like, shucks, darn, aren't you? Why aren't you over this yet? It was more like, oh, I still got some stuff there. Or, oh, why am I getting pulled into this thing that is clearly not mine, right? So let's have some grace with ourselves, I think, is the point. And then even the last point that I want to make on that thought is, growth doesn't erase grief or feelings. It doesn't mean that I never feel. It doesn't mean that I'm never triggered. It doesn't mean that wounds of the past don't have a way of just kind of sneaking up on you. And if you recall, again, in this example, I was being rubbed on somebody's, like in my own emotions, based on someone else's story. And it doesn't have to be like that. So we are going to go to our second break, where we will continue talking about how this journey is, it's always happening. It's always in parallel. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today we are talking about the journey of healing and what it is and what it isn't, and how healing doesn't actually mean that you're broken. So in the first segment, I was highlighting some of the coping mechanisms that might not be so obvious. Those are things like hypervigilance, overworking, avoidance, emotional numbing, people pleasing, and control. That's what we highlighted in the first segment, going over those and also giving a few definitions. And just as we came out of the second segment, I was just finishing up by saying that this journey is not linear. It is not about perfection. It is really about learning how to build capacity and be fully present with your emotions as they come up and when, as you walk through this journey. And the idea that I was just highlighting was, how do we release shame without feeling like we are still struggling? And I was giving an example of how something was bothering me after having a conversation with my sister that had nothing to do with my life, and how instead of getting pulled into, why am I not over this yet, I just said, okay, A, this is not happening to me, and B, is there something in this for me that I still need to release? So how do we let go of the shame within all of that? The other thing is also being able to not get pulled into the experience and owning it as our identity. So, for example, saying I am broken versus I am hurting or I have been hurt. So learning how to differentiate the two, an identity versus an experience, the owning it and making it your identity is often what keeps people very, very stuck in the experience itself, right? Versus saying, I had this experience and it happened and I'm not going to allow it to define me. If anything, it's just kind of helped me to become who I am at this moment in time. And then the other part of that is going into an understanding that we can be tender and graceful with ourselves without needing to actually abandon ourselves, right? So healing isn't, sometimes you might hear this terminology around emotional or spiritual bypassing, which is almost like, you know, I'm so healed that I like never feel. In fact, if anything, what I say to people is I'm human, right? Engaging and choosing to engage in this journey doesn't mean that I don't feel. It doesn't mean that I don't get angry. It doesn't mean that I don't rage sometimes. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that I try to be as present and conscious with those emotions and those experiences as they're occurring. And even within that experience and staying present, not judging them. If you're angry, be angry. And I think that it's perfectly okay. So instead of being like, oh, it's okay, or pushing your feelings away or saying I shouldn't feel like this, or your feelings are your feelings. And, you know, I often say to people, like, your feelings are data. You don't have to own them. But in that, and, you know, we can go through the whole process of like, why am I feeling this? You know, is this true? Da 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 da. All that stuff, for sure we can. But at the same time, in that moment, feel what you want to feel and give voice to it. Because I often observe within myself is like, once I'm able to give a voice to my feeling and say, okay, I'm angry and it's okay to be angry, then that in and of itself begins to like loosen its hold on me in that experience. So now moving on, where I want to go with this next is healing as capacity for reality. So what are we trying to do with this? Like I said, we want to stay in the discomfort, not indefinitely, but we want to be present. We don't want to disconnect from it. We don't want to bypass it, as I just told you, or as I just said. So if I'm sad, like I think there were a few weeks ago and it didn't even make sense to me, but I just experienced it for what it was. It was like right at the end, like probably around November. And I was feeling really upset, but I didn't even know why. I just knew that I was not feeling myself. And so instead of trying to like push through or pretend that I wasn't feeling that way, I was very honest with people. I was just like, hey, I'm just not feeling it today. Like, you might not get the best me. And at the end of the day, I always want to be able to bring my best self. And if I can't, I was really honest. And I think that it really humanizes us. And instead of trying to pretend that I'm always feeling amazing, I was just like, I'm not feeling it today. And I don't want to even pretend by bringing some fake version of happy today. So that's number one. And then telling the truth without collapsing. So I think that this is most important when we are speaking our own personal truth to someone else when we've been hurt. And this kind of ties into, if you think about it, with the people pleasing. So let's say somebody hurts you and you almost try to make it easier for them by minimizing your own pain. Or the alternative of that is like going full in on it. So this is where I'm often careful of like emotionally regulating myself before engaging in that conversation, because I want somebody to hear me when they've hurt me. Like if somebody's hurt me and it's wounded me deeply, I want them to be able to genuinely hear me without getting drawn into the full-fledged emotion of it. So if somebody's hurt me, often what I will do is I will just be like, if they ask me, I'll just be like, you know what? I'm really processing this right now. Don't worry. I'll come back and have a conversation with you about this, but now's not the time, because I'm going to say or do things. Usually say, I don't really do things. I'm going to say something that I don't mean. And I have a saying, you can't unring a bell. So this is where that emotional regulation comes in, where a situation is emotionally charged. I think it's very okay to put a pin in it so that I can speak my truth without collapsing under the weight of the emotion of it. This one is one that I've had to work on, which is learning how to let joy in without waiting for the other shoe to fall. And this one I think takes practice. And that comes back to that whole coping mechanism around hypervigilance. Joy is something that I try to try to experience every single day. And sometimes it's in the really teeny tiny things. And sometimes it's in those really big, obvious things. But can we begin to let joy into our life without bracing for, you know, the downturn of life? And last but not least, allowing support without deflecting. This one also takes me some work. So the way this looks is the idea that I can do it all and I don't need anybody's help. Yes, I'm very capable. 100% I am. But I really had to learn. One of my coaches, she's so funny. She actually gave me an exercise where she was like, you're going to have to go out there and ask for help. And she's like, and not from people that you expect it from, but like from complete strangers. And this was like terrifying for me. I'm like, you want me? Because you know what was going on in my head? I was like, oh, I'm going to be looked at as being weak. So this one is a really good one, you know, allowing support in without deflecting or saying I can do it or I don't need it doesn't mean any of those things. And if we take this to like the spiritual and energetic kind of topic of this for a second, where this really resonated with me is if I keep deflecting the help, then how can I actually get it? So for example, it's like praying to God and saying, please help me with this thing. And then God actually sends you this thing, not in the way that you expect it, but when it comes through help of someone else, you're like, no, I don't need your help because you're expecting it in a certain way. I hope that really makes sense of what I'm trying to explain here of allowing the support without deflecting it. So if you're going to ask for the help, so for those of you who are not good at asking for help, ask for the help and then accept it in whatever form that it comes in. Because from the spiritual side of things, how the heck are you ever supposed to actually get the help and the support if you say no to it? It doesn't work like that. Okay, and then now that we've kind of talked about some of the coping mechanisms and how they show up and what healing can be, how do we begin to like pull this all together in a way that doesn't feel like you're always working with it? And I think that the awareness is like some people say that it's not a lifelong journey. I actually think that it is because there are the things that you have the awareness of in life that are always that you first kind of have to have the awareness that there is healing that needs to happen with it. And then there's the how do I do it in a way that resonates with me and that is healthy and so that I can actually address it and begin to like let go of whatever that thing is. And before we go into like the maturity of it and the integration and how we can really begin to embody it, why am I having this episode now? Well, I'm having this episode now because in the last few, I've talked about what I deem to be such an integral and important part of sacred leadership, and that is the inner work. How can I possibly begin to lead other people in organizations and schools, institutions, however that might show up? So in other words, what I'm trying to say, how can I begin to lead large, large groups of people if I can't even lead myself? How can I begin to show up in an emotionally mature way or, you know, begin to guide people on how to do that if I can't even do it with myself? So the reason why I'm taking like this really large step back in terms of like different ways that these things show up is so that maybe we can identify it. Because the one thing that I hear a lot of people around me saying, I was having a conversation quite a few months ago, actually 6 months ago with somebody, and I was just kind of like poking in a way that I had not poked before. And I was just kind of like, you know, what was your childhood like? Like, what were some of the things that, you know, you didn't really, there's the obvious things, but like, you know, just trying to just peel back some of the layers and have this conversation with this person. And this person, I don't know if they got defensive or they were just fully avoidant, but they were just like, oh, nothing. Everything was amazing. Everything was great. Nothing happened. And I find myself having these conversations actually over the last 6 months, roughly, with quite a few people where I'm asking these questions, and I'm asking these questions with intention and purpose. I'm asking these questions because I'm saying to them, like, have you thought of this without saying, have you thought of this? And the answers have been fairly consistent over quite a few people who are just like, oh, nothing. My childhood was amazing. There was nothing that happened. Or another one that I hear is like, I don't like to dwell on things. I just, you know, I just want to keep it moving. and not focus on the past, just forge ahead to the future. And to me, those are indicators that maybe there's something else at play, perhaps a little bit of avoidance. So if that sounds like you, then maybe this is definitely the episode for you. Because my point ultimately being, before we can be CEOs and managing directors and executive management of other people, it really, really does begin with ourselves. And one managing director I'd recently talked to, it was so well put, and I can't wait to get him on this show because I just love all the things that he says. But we were having a conversation and he was saying to someone else at the table, he said very clearly, before you can really effectively lead other people, you got to be able to like humanize yourself. And part of humanizing ourselves means we got to show that it's not perfect, that it can sometimes be really messy, that we can be really, and I don't say emotional in a out of control way, but that we can get in touch with our emotions and we can feel them and we can be present with them and not try and avoid them and bat them away. So with all that in mind, I just wanted to give a little bit of background before we moved into, you know, the embodiment and integrating all of these things and how do we do this dance while we fully live life. So if you are enjoying this show, please give me a 5-star review as we go to break, our final break of today. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. And just before break, I was reminding you that if you are enjoying this content, please, please, please give me a 5-star rating review on iTunes, and I would be supremely grateful. And this will assist me in getting the information out to those folks that need it. So right before the break, I was just talking about why I decided to do this particular episode at this time, because in this next upcoming year, we're really going to try to weave together what this journey looks like when we are healing and we are learning how to find the leader in us. All of these things, they do work together, and that's ultimately why I keep coming back to, in order to really effectively do this, we have to begin with ourselves. So pulling this all together for you, in the first segment, I highlighted all of the ways, not all, some of the ways that these coping mechanisms show up and what those coping mechanisms are. They are hypervigilance, overworking, avoidance, people-pleasing, control, and I don't remember the last one, but there are 7 of them. And I also indicated that if you're not sure if that's you, you can certainly go over to positiveintelligence.com/saboteurs/ and take their 10 or 15 minute assessment. It will rank where you are heaviest in those things. And again, what these are just kind of coping mechanisms, the things that you might tend to do when you are being challenged or triggered, or that word is really bugging me these days, so I'm just trying to find different ways to say it. We're going to say when a wound is being rubbed. That's what I'm going to say it. And so that's one of the things that we covered here. In addition, we chatted a little bit about how we begin to do this journey as we are staying present with ourselves and really engaging with the emotions, but in a way that you don't necessarily feel like you are collapsing, like you have anything that you need to have shame around, and that this journey, ultimately, this very intentional healing journey, is ultimately about how we stay present and not shame ourselves as we continue to have things that rub on those wounds that we might not like. So Now, as we are coming to a close, I want to talk a little bit more about how we integrate and pull all of these things together. So I want you to remember that your body and your nervous system is always trying to keep you safe. And so there's nothing wrong with you. These are just perfectly normal coping mechanisms or protective instincts that, you know, kick into gear when we're not feeling safe. And that's ultimately what this boils down to, right? Safety and security is like probably one of the most basic things that every single one of us needs. And whether we're not, if we're not feeling emotionally safe, physically safe, spiritually safe, you know, mentally safe, this is when these things really, really start to show up in our world. So it's nothing wrong. It's nothing broken. It's your body adapting and trying to keep you safe. The other thing is that you're not broken. It's a coping mechanism. And so when something happened, usually back in your young days, like when you're a child, you figure out, how do I get through this? And so all that we do is we ultimately take that pattern and we begin to do it over and over and over and over again in life because we're adapting, we're keeping ourselves safe. So that's, again, a pattern doesn't mean you're broken. A pattern means I've learned how to adapt and how to keep myself. Why can't I talk today? I'm tired. That's why. We've just learned how to adapt and keep ourselves very, very safe in the process. This one's a big one, which is, how do we keep ourselves whole yet tender? So I think that this comes back to the conversation around having a lot of grace and patience with yourselves as you go through this, as you choose to engage and not suppress or avoid. And the relatable example, even now today, as I'm saying, like, I'm really tired and there's like this inner war with myself saying, oh, there's all these things that you need to do. But, you know, the softer side of myself, the grace side of myself is saying, but you're tired and it's perfectly okay. It was a busy holiday season and there's a lot that has happened, you know, in the latter part of the year. It's perfectly okay to just want to rest and recoup. You don't need to charge through this. So that's an example of what I'm talking about when I say grace. Or another example is when something or someone rubs on a wound and we still have a response or a reaction. It's okay. It's a process. We're learning. So have grace with yourself and realize there is no perfection in this. There's just learning and awareness and choosing to come back to it again and engage with it versus avoiding it, right? Or emotionally or spiritually bypassing whatever it is. And then healing, what I just said, that healing is presence. It's not perfection. It's going to sometimes be messy, as I told you about my snot bubble story of having this awareness, you know, asking myself, oh, where is this coming? Like, what is it that I need to heal next? And then having this very old memory that had such an emotion, that I had such an emotional response to, right? So I chose in that moment to be very, very present with it and let myself feel it. And then also, in addition to that, having the awareness of like, holy smokes, I didn't even realize that this thing that's so old, 30 years, literally 30 plus years, was still bothering me, right? But I'll tell you, once I chose to like really engage with this thing from the past, it lost its hold. And who knows the umpteen ways that that one incident was still holding on to me in so many ways that I didn't even realize. So this is actually the beauty of like facing these things. It's like it begins to like unravel all these other things that you're so knotted up about. So because I talk so much about somatic practices, as we are getting near the end of our time here today, I want to leave you with some questions that you can maybe ask yourself as you choose to like engage with this. So the first question I would pose to you is, what did my body need when I learned these patterns? What did my body need in that moment when I learned these patterns? So if we're using myself, I need rest. And I know that. So the pattern is overworking. I'm going to disrupt that pattern today. Another question is, what am I judging that once protected me? So that could be control. So I might feel like I need to control situations so I feel safe. And I might have been judging myself, but I can see now that we try to control things sometimes so that we can feel a sense of safety and security. Another question is, where am I rushing myself instead of listening? This one is one that I have done in the past often, just trying to hurry up and get through. Well, what am I running away from? What am I avoiding? Why am I trying to rush through this? Again, these are questions that you can ask yourself if you choose to engage in this particular experience. And another question would be, what would it look like to heal without making myself wrong? So again, we are absolving ourselves of judgment. We are releasing what the shame might be around it. But what would it look like to heal without making myself wrong in this process? So I hope you found this episode particularly juicy for you today and helpful. We will return next week. And until next time, please take care of yourself. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Cherise returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.